Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus. Father, we celebrate the birth of our Messiah, Savior, coming King, Prince of Peace. I pray that you'll take your word today, that you will apply it to us in each individual circumstance, in each individual life. You know the needs, but one need is common. We all need Jesus. So, Lord, move freely among us. I pray that there will be lost souls saved. I pray that the saved will be reminded and draw near to you. I pray, Lord, your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Emmanuel, God with us. Never before in history was there such a time as we read about here in the book of Matthew. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. Moses experienced God, or experienced the presence of God at the burning bush. Israel followed God by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. David had fellowship with God, a man after God's own heart, but never before had God came in the flesh to walk among men and to live among men. I want you to realize, first of all, how profound this statement is. God with us. Now in this text, literally, God in the form of a man is announced. What an awesome announcement it is. I mean, you know, honestly, and I was thinking this morning, if we're not real careful, we come to that point where we kind of callous over with Christmas and the Christmas story. We can't afford to do that. It's so very special, so very timely, so very needed. And so today I want to review the awesome announcement from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now that word found, very interesting word. It means to discover. As in not expecting something, not even looking for something, but to happen upon something and say, whoa, I've discovered this. You see, Mary, 3 months ago, has received an announcement that was between her and God. And this announcement was that she would be the mother of the Son of God. Afterwards, she goes to her cousin's house, Elizabeth, and spends 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth, who is the mother also of John the Baptist, who is going to be the forerunner of the ministry of Christ. She spent that 3 months away. Now she comes back. And it's obvious something is different. This gal is expecting a baby. And she has not had relationship, if you will, relations with her betrothed husband. They have not lived together at this point and consummated the marriage. And in this culture, I want to give you a rundown of what has happened. In this culture, marriages were arranged by the parents. I don't know how we ever got away from that, but we messed up when we did. Amen? I mean, in the Jewish culture of that day, they would have looked at their kids and said, "You're not mature enough to make this decision. I will make it for you." That's the way it was. And I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure that's not a bad deal. But we'll go on. This was a marriage that would have been arranged. And how it worked, the groom and the family of the groom would go to the father of the bride and they would negotiate a price for the bride. It was very interesting because the price that they negotiated, you know, I mean, when we think of negotiate, we think of get it for the best deal. In their culture, they negotiated the price of the bride up. Because the more you paid for the bride reflected the more worth that the bride was. So nobody ever wanted to say, "I got my bride at the discount store." Right? So they would bid this price up, if you will, and they would pay a premium for this bride. And once that agreement had been reached, they would exchange the finances. And they were legally under contract from that point forward. They were bound by each other, by marital law, if you will. Even though they weren't living together yet. Now, Mary has been away. She returns and she's under this contract. And it's obvious this girl is pregnant. Joseph, thinking like any man would think, he thinks, "She's been unfaithful to me." Now she approaches Joseph, I'm sure, and her explanation is that, "Listen, the good news is I have been faithful to you, but it's a boy. And this is a child that God has given me." Now, I want you to think, if your fiancé said, "This is a child God has given me," you probably wouldn't buy it, and that's Joseph at this point. And so Joseph is thinking like any man would think, "She's been unfaithful to me. Got to end this." So it says Joseph, being a righteous man, he would put her away privately. That means without a fuss. He wouldn't take her before the legal court and have her stoned or and the law exercised against her. He would just do it kind of on the sly, where as little embarrassment as possible would take place. And it's at this point that we begin to think, poor, poor Mary. And I've heard priests, and I've even thought myself, it's at this point Joseph saying, "I'm sorry, girl, but I don't buy your story." It's at this point that not only has Joseph known, but the families are bound to have known because she's been discovered. Everybody sees this girl. She's expecting, she's not married, and everybody knows she's been away for 3 months. It's not Joseph's. This is public knowledge. Nobody wants to give this girl the time of day. And it's at this point we begin to humanize Mary and say, "Oh, she's feeling so bad, so sorry for herself, and how bad she's got it, and she has to be thinking, 'Lord, why me?'" But you know what? As I was studying, and I turn this inside out, trying to find it. It's not there. Nowhere does Mary say, Lord, now I've done everything you told me to do and things are falling apart. Lord, why are you doing this to me? It's not there. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. If you go back in the book of Luke, if you go back into the book of Luke, in chapter 1, verse 28, at her announcement, it says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. This is what Mary has heard from God. See, as this angel appears, listen, I want you to know, the angel says, you are blessed more than any woman on earth. Mary's like, who, me? Oh yeah, you. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Not only are you blessed, Mary, but God favors you like He's never favored a lady before. He goes on, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. He's given her all this, and He said, and besides all that, you're going to have a child. The Son of God. You see, it's at this point that I believe Mary had the big picture. She was fully informed. And in verse 38, the book of Luke chapter 1, she said, behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She backs up and she says, glory to God, use me. And I don't think this young lady ever looked back. So at this point, I want to challenge you. Don't look at Mary and say, poor, poor Mary, because Mary didn't. Look at Mary and realize the miracle that God is working through her life. I believe this girl never wavered from this point forward. Now, Joseph wavered a little bit because he hasn't been privy to all the information that Mary has, but not Mary. I believe her joy was more real than ever before. And as I thought about this, I thought, you know, isn't that what we need this Christmas? To realize more than ever before that we have a King of Kings, Lord of Lords, a Messiah, a Savior who can deliver us from the clutches and the stains of sin and give us a relationship with Almighty God. You want to know what the joy of Christmas is? Joy of Christmas is not the parties. The joy of Christmas is not the presents. The joy of Christmas is the Savior. Don't lose that. No matter where you are or what you're doing, don't lose the joy. Yeah, Brother Doug, Christmas is... you know, there are some people that if we're not careful, we can all get in to that point where all we want out of Christmas is for it to be over. Have you ever thought that? When we're thinking that, we've lost sight of what it's all about. Oh, listen, my friends, I know there's a lot going on between family celebrations, parties and presents and all that. And all that's fine. But hang on to the joy. The joy of the Son of God. The joy that God sent His Son in the flesh to dwell among mankind. I love John's words in the book of John chapter 1 where he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, from this point forward, God is going to deal with man in a way that He has never dealt with man before. You see, God's plan of salvation played out from this point forward. And it all started with this little girl. She was a good girl. But it all started with this little girl who said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Then we go on. As I said before, old Joseph, he was a little bit different. He hadn't been exposed to the angels at this point. And so Joseph has this mind that, I'm going to put her away privately. I'm going to divorce her. But I'm going to do it with as little fanfare and to do as little damage to her as possible. But you know what? God needed a man. God needed a man. a man that would stand up and protect Mary and shield her from the inevitable process of the law of Moses. For you see, Mary was facing death. If they had exercised the law of Moses against her, they would have taken her out and stoned her to death. God needed a man to stand up and say, "No, I'll take Mary. She's my wife." God needed a man to be a father to this infant child. A man that would not allow this child to grow up with the stigma of being a child born out of wedlock, enduring the shame and the disgrace of that society would have had for him. God needed a man to be a father in that home. Guess who that man was? That man was Joseph. Can you imagine if God were searching the world today? And let's say God's searching Russellville, Arkansas. He says, "I need one man. I've got a special job. I need one man." Would He choose any of us? I would hope so. Yes. Why would He choose Joseph? He chose Joseph because Joseph, her husband, was a just man. You know what that word means? Of course, it means he was righteous. It doesn't mean that he was a hard man. It doesn't mean he was a legalistic man. It means that he was right in the sight of God. And even above that, that he wanted to do what was right in the sight of God. A man who wanted to do right. That's a good guy, isn't it? You see, God chose him. But he's got one problem. The man's afraid. He's afraid. He's afraid to marry her because if he marries Mary, then no longer is he going to be just because he has married someone who is unjust. Okay? That's the way the Jewish mind would have viewed it. So he's, even though, and I believe he still wants to marry her. I believe he still loves this girl, and I believe it's tearing him apart. But he feels, "I can't marry her now because she's expecting a baby." And he was also afraid because if he doesn't marry her, what's going to happen? But I love this next part. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, we read in our text. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins.'" I believe this news came as a great relief to a man who wanted to do what was right, who wanted to marry the love of his life, and now he's got the full approval of heaven to do it. He's entrusted with the responsibility of taking care of the mother of God, if you will. He's entrusted to the human growth and the development of the Creator of the universe. A responsibility that wasn't given to the high priest or the scribes or the Pharisees or the Sadducees of that day. It was given to this plain, ordinary carpenter guy, Joseph, who was a man who wanted to do what was right. You know what we need today? We need not only women who are joyful. We need men who want to do what's right in today's society. I mean, you know, I truly believe in our culture today that righteousness starts with a desire to do what's right. A desire to honor God. A desire to serve the Lord. A desire to be faithful to the Lord. Let me ask you the question. Dads, what is your greatest desire in your home? Is it to make a living? Well, that's pretty important, but that's not the big one. Is it to rule over your children? Is it to be the head of your home? You know, there are some guys that say, I'm the head of my home. Or is it a desire to do what's right in the sight of God? Men, we need men who will love their wives as God loved the church, according to the Bible. We need men who will raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, not send them to church with their mommies. We need men who want to do what's right again in business deals. Men who are willing to share Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. We need men to be men. In this time, in this, you know, season of celebration, I want you to understand. Yes, we need a joy in Christmas, but we need people once again to be bold and declaring the grace of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We need people to stand upon the highest platform possible and shout, Merry Christmas through the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. We need people who are not afraid, men and women alike, who will take their stand for the glory of Almighty God. Then finally, we need an acceptance of God's authority. If you'll notice what happened, if we read in this text, and Joseph being aroused from his sleep in verse 24, Joseph being aroused from his sleep did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth the firstborn son and called his name Jesus. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded. Very simple. If people, we, as God's people, would just realize God has given us a purpose. And that purpose is not to sit around and do nothing. But that purpose is to declare the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. That, is that what you're doing this Christmas season? You know, we're not offended until we're told we can't do something. A few years ago, it got to be a thing where some of the businesses were telling their people, don't say Merry Christmas, say Happy Holidays. You remember that? And we didn't really get offended until we were told we couldn't do it. But my question would be this. How many were doing it before they were told not to? You know what I'm saying? See, when we're told not to, then we bow and say, well, I'll show you. What are you doing this Christmas season that declares God's grace, God's authority, and the acceptance of God's authority to mankind? You know, when you say Merry Christmas, what you're doing is you're saying we have a Savior. When you're declaring to the world, and at this point, you know what Jesus was about, right? You see, the reason, the last part, the acceptance of God's authority is because, yes, Christmas is a time of joy. Yes, Christmas is a time of singing and carols and goodness. But it's also a time to accept God's authority. And God's authority is this. There is a plan of salvation. That plan of salvation was set in motion right here. Actually, it was set in motion from the foundation of the world. Right? But under God's plan, God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? Now, that's what the world doesn't want to hear. I mean, after all, we're all just pretty good people, and we don't want to accept the fact that we're sinners, but beloved, we are. That's the point of Jesus. Okay? If we weren't sinners, Jesus would not have had to come. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you've got to do something with that. You've got to do something with that statement. All right? What you going to do? You can say, well, Brother Doug, I'm doing the best I can. Well, I'm as good as you are. You're probably better than I am. However, what are you going to do about your sin? Not only does the Bible say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we're also told that God has proven His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the birth of this baby, Jesus, doesn't stop in a manger. I mean, He lived and from 30 to 33 was His personal ministry. And He all those years, He never sinned. You mean Jesus didn't sin when He was a baby? No. You mean Jesus didn't sin when He was a teenager? No. You know, can you imagine being the parent of a child like that? Never have to correct him? But this sinless human being who was born to Mary and Joseph came to a point at age 33 where He loved you so much that He took your sins to the cross of Calvary. For you. And for you to back up and say, I don't have sin, you're a liar. You've not accepted the authority of God and His Word. And listen, I don't mean to say that and be offensive. I really don't. But I want you to understand the magnitude of what's been done for you. The Son of God was sent upon this earth so you could have eternal life. What you've got to do is you've got to own who you are, and that is a sinner. Second thing you've got to do is you've got to call upon the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 10 says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and believe in the heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. You see, today you've got to make a decision. And you can make, your decision can be to live in fear and anxiety, or your decision can be to receive the authority and the grace of Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and call upon Him for salvation. Brother Doug, I don't know how to do that. I can tell you. I'm not going to pray. I can't pray for you, but I can tell you this. You cry out to Jesus, ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to save you. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, I don't want us just to celebrate the joy of a Christmas season. I don't want us to just get over the fear and taking our public stand for Jesus Christ. I want us to experience God's authority all the way. It starts with submission to the Savior. Are you a child of God? Have you owned who you are? Listen, Christmas is a wonderful and beautiful holiday. But when you experience and celebrate it for what it really is, it gets a lot better. It's more than lights and trees and presents. It's a personal relationship with Almighty God. Are you saved? If not, I want to invite you to come today. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for Jesus and the sacrifice, Lord, that was made for us upon the cross of Calvary. And we thank You, Lord, that Jesus did come in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. He lived a sinless life, and then He gave that life as a ransom for our sin. He paid our sin debt
so that we could have eternal life. And now, Lord, I pray for all those present today who do not know You as their personal Savior. Lord, they can't celebrate Christmas. All they do is celebrate a holiday. And Lord, I pray You'd open their eyes, give them understanding, and draw them to You so that they come to You for salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, I love You. I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.